Blackhawks Live.
It's always Hall of Fame, man.
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live. Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. Here's Chris Bowden and Nick Gismondi.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us once again this week for Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. I'm Chris Bowden. All Blackhawks conversation coming your way over the next hour as we'll be joined by a couple of defensemen, Calvin DeHaan, one of their current blue liners, as well as, that's coming up in a few minutes then, in our second half hour, our friend Steve Conroy, who was on the call last night for NBC Sports Chicago, along with Pat Foley. Now, we had liftoff last week, but I had to fly solo because my usual co-host did not have liftoff in time to get home for the show. But glad to report that he is on board this week. So let me officially welcome in, introduce Nick Gismondi, joining us from the safety of his Rocky Mountain bunker. Glad to have you along for this ride over the next 4 months. Let's have some fun.
Hey, Bodes, it's so good to be on the air with you, my friend, and I apologize for having you go on that breakaway by yourself. I was trying to get across the blue line there, but, listen, I have a pretty hard and fast rule about not traveling on broadcast days, and unfortunately, a prior engagement before I was able to commit to the show kind of jammed me up, literally, and I found myself stalled quite literally in Dulles there in D.C., so good to be with you, though. I'm super excited about this year. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, did you have to quarantine once you got back? Because there was a sick customer on one of the plane or something like that, wasn't it? Was that the backstory?
Yeah. Somebody got ill on the plane. I don't know it was anything that was related to what's going on in the world right now. But I took the precautions and kind of sat tight and still am doing so. I'm actually, obviously, as you said, I'm in Denver, so just kind of laying low right now, but feeling good. And I think the skies are clear from here on out.
That's
but
good.
It's good to be able to do radio in this current craziness from even afar. So I see your smiling face on the Zoom here, but it's good to hear your voice too.
Yeah, I said when Curtis, our producer, said that you wanted to, I have to look at Nick too, but you got to look at me too. That's the other part of this here. Obviously, not the start that the Blackhawks wanted this season. This season has been about, we stated far before we even dropped the puck, about a rebuild. It's going to be about progression, about taking steps along the way, especially with the tough hand that this team was dealt right before training camp even started, with a couple of injuries and, of course, Jonathan Toews' illness. And 0-3 start so far, and it has been rough at times, but I have a pretty good feeling about tomorrow night. All the guys are saying the right things, and we'll talk about it with Calvin DeHaan here in a minute. Nobody wants to get out of the gate 0-3, but nevertheless, they seem to have a right mindset as to, how they were talking after practice today. You were on the Zoom calls with a couple of the guys and Jeremy Colleton. It's the first week of the season. You can't bury yourself in frustration. They have an obligation, and they will continue to keep working and get more consistent 60-minute play out of themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what you really have to do is put this whole thing in quite a bit of perspective, and that does go along with the, listen, it is only three games in, and I know the pressures that are on this team and this organization of being, being sort of still the new guy with the Chicago Blackhawks. I understand the pressures and the the expectations of the city, but you've got a lot of different factors that came in and smacked these guys right away from the very beginning. Not having Jonathan Toews in that room with essentially 10 new guys on the roster hurts. I mean, he's their leader. He's their leader both on the ice. He's their leader off the ice in that room. He's a huge presence that carries a lot of weight and certainly has a massive, massive voice, even though he comes off to us and to the media and to the public as maybe a little bit more reserved. He's talking a lot, and so you're missing that element in the locker room. Kirby Dach made some massive strides during the first pause to come back and play well in that return to play, and then he looked great all summer. Obviously, he was going to be, I think, phenomenal at World Juniors, and then he was going to have a massive impact. So that hurts, and then not having that full training camp, not having those exhibition games for some of these new guys to really get their first taste of the NHL, to understand the speed, to understand the physicality and the game day and the routine and all of that. So you're playing catch up a little bit here. So, I would not be judging or starting to really judge or put our thumb down on these guys, for a few more games here, just because I don't think we're getting a full clear picture as to what exactly they're going to look like. Yeah. And I think that, like you said, we talked to those guys on Zoom. The positivity is there. The right things are happening. I thought they made a big step in that second game. The first game against Tampa was whatever. It was what it was. Thought they played much, much better in that in that second game. And then, yesterday they had opportunities to win, but they couldn't kind of finish it, if you will.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the theme here. There have been very good stretches. There have been very flat and unfortunate stretches as well. And as this team learns to play together, learns each other, as a matter of fact, as they go along here, after that short training camp, you would expect steps to be taken, and hopefully that's the case that we see tomorrow. And I have a pretty good feeling about tomorrow night, them coming home, wrapping this thing up with a victory before their first home game against the Detroit Red Wings coming up on Friday night at the United Center. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will be joined by Blackhawks defenseman Calvin DeHaan. Enjoy the show, everyone. You're listening to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive on 720 WGN.
DeHaan in behind the net. Reverses it to Seabrook around up the right board. Seabrook with a headman pass up the right wing at center ice. He got it ahead to Dock in over the Vegas line. DeHaan from the left circle. Shoots, he scores! Calvin DeHaan's first goal as a Blackhawk. Ties the score at two. And a perfect setup from the far circle. And DeHaan just wristed it right past Fleury. We're tied up at two.
Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Chris Bowden, Nick Gismondi with you here, and our first guest tonight. In his second year with the Blackhawks, 12th overall draft pick of the Islanders back a dozen years ago. Played 5 years with the Islanders, one season in Carolina before Stan Bowman traded for him a couple of summers ago. Calvin DeHaan joining us live from Florida ahead of tomorrow night's road trip finale against the Panthers. Hey, Calvin, good evening. Thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
One thing I've loved hearing from you and the other guys before the season even began last week was the motivation the team was taking in low expectations from the outside. And really, that's the only mindset that any team should take. And now the start hasn't been what anyone wanted, but I also heard something else I liked when Jeremy and Matthias and Lucas Walmark spoke with reporters today. It's early. The season's going to be about incremental growth. And while it may be frustrating at times, you have to keep putting the work in. And is that a pretty universal characterization about the team's approach here at practice today and their overall attitude?
Yeah, of course. I think it goes without saying with any team, whether you're a cup contender or, if you're, rebuilding like we are, I think it's a mindset that every team has. You want to compete and get better and be the best in the league, and just trusting the process is probably the right way to do things. And what Jeremy said is 100% true.
Calvin, it's obviously it's a weird year, and Chris and I were just talking about this, but with no training camp and with basically just jumping right into a shortened season, you don't have that lead up, you don't have that ramp up, you don't have that little bit of time to kind of work out the kinks. You have to get right into it, and then on top of it, you've got a condensed season. Does it change the mindset? Does it change the preparation for you at all, or is it a little bit more business as usual?
For me personally, it's just hockey at the end of the day, but I think from a team aspect, missing out on those preseason games, can go a long way, especially for a team like ours at the moment. We have a lot of guys who are new to the league, they've only been in the league for a certain, a brief moment of time, and being able to get some preseason games under the belt and being able to gel with your new teammates, and knowing tendencies and stuff like that can go a long way. Nothing's normal in this day and age. So we just got to just roll with the punches, I guess, and just keep plugging away.
You've been paired together with Ian Mitchell, the former second round draft pick from the start of training camp. And it looks like it's gone pretty smoothly. This kid may be only, 22 years old or so, but he comes off as a lot more older, experienced player for having just three NHL games now under his belt.
Yeah, Mitchie just turned 22 today, so happy birthday to him.
Halfway to 40. We won't break out in song. We will not break out in song.
No, I'm not much of a singer. he plays a mature game. It's a pretty simple eye test. He moves the puck well. He's not doing anything too fancy right now, but I think as time goes on, he's going to build up more confidence and I think he's going to have a great career, and I've really enjoyed being paired with him so far. And I think we've been pretty solid throughout the first three games. So it's been a pleasure to play with him. And I hope he would say the same thing about me.
Calvin, last year, right around December, after you got injured, you and me were talking, and you know, we had a real frank and candid conversation about just the game of hockey and where you were with things. And you know, it's unbelievable and awesome to see you back to where you are and out there competing again. And I had a conversation with a former teammate of yours, Justin Williams, who echoed those thoughts and is just as thrilled. But can you take me through the process to getting yourself back in and just kind of what it meant to you to be back on the ice and playing hockey again? Because I know at the end of the day, it came down to love of the game a bit.
It's all about the love of the game. Past 3 years have been pretty tough for me. I've had major shoulder surgeries the past three, and there were some dark times in there, mentally tough times. But at the end of the day, I truly love playing hockey, and these aren't going to keep me away from the game. The shoulders are, there's always that old saying, the injury's a long way from the heart, but they're kind of close geographically on a body, I guess. But but it's something that's not going to keep me down. The worst part about it too is it's always a freak accident. It's never from a hit or, it's just a weird time in a game where it's an awkward fall or something, and it's really out of my control, and that's the thing that's really annoying. But you just try and stay positive and control the things that you can control at the end of the day. And it's really great to be back on the ice with the guys, though. And the staff and the team's been great over the past year with regarding rehab and all that kind of stuff. I'm very grateful, and I'm not trying to take playing in the NHL for granted. So it's been a long year, but good to be out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask you about two things in this interview. I was going to ask you about analytics, and I wasn't going to ask you about your shoulders, because you're probably sick of talking about them after what you've been through the last couple of years. But when I saw that piece that Scott Powers did with you a couple of weeks ago, I did want to circle back to one point you brought up with the most recent procedure a year ago, and that's that the doctors took some extra preventative measures that more or less locks the shoulders in to virtually, knock on something, virtually guarantee that the same injury doesn't happen again?
Yeah. The procedures, I don't know how much time we have on the radio, but it's actually quite kind of a simple procedure, but the medical terms are kind of complicating and stuff, but I think I could go and do it on a cadaver somewhere. I've had so many of them now. But it's, this time around, I got sliced open, and they didn't do it arthroscopically, and they, essentially take another piece of bone from elsewhere in your body and make your cavity deeper. And it's all that fancy mumbo jumbo, but, knock on wood that they just stay in their sockets for a few more years here. So I want to, play hockey in the NHL as long as I can. And,
whatever works,
like you said, knock on some wood. So,
Kelv, how's the brewery, bud? How's Ridge Rock up there? And how's Ridge Rock up there in Carp? I you and me talked about trying to get up there, but maybe we should make that a thing this summer.
Yeah, it's just down the road from where my fiance and I live. But it's the lights are still on. It's been a weird year with COVID and stuff. Mm-hmm. The city of Ontario is on a lockdown right now, so there's no indoor, like zero indoor dining or anything along those lines. So it's been, a little strange, but, we've had to adapt, and it's been a lot of fun just to, be a part of a business, while I'm playing, to, keep my mind, away from hockey at certain times and, just have something else to think about. So it's been a lot of fun, things are going well so far, so good.
How did you first get interested in it, and how long did the idea germinate with some of your buddies, and your family's involved too, right?
Yeah, my dad works at the brewery. He's pretty much our Swiss Army knife there. Does deliveries, helps with canning and the brewing process and all that kind of stuff. And you know, he cleans the building in the morning. You know, he's not necessarily, well, he is a Swiss Army knife, that's for sure, but he's probably the heart and soul of the building, really. Like, you know, we myself and my partners talk about it, that we probably would have been out of business by now if it wasn't for him. But it's, you know, it's the kind of started, there's four of us just hanging around, just having a beer, you know, being normal. And then, you know, we talked about the idea, and then one day we kind of revisited and we're like, oh, let's just try it. And, you know, the rest is history, really. So it's been a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
Calva, back to hockey for a moment here. You know, obviously, your guy's been around the league a bit, so you have that veteran voice, and especially back on the defensive side of things, you're one of the guys some of these younger guys have kind of maybe looked to at the current situation of the season and the state of the NHL and sort of where the Blackhawks are at. Is that a role that you embrace? I mean, are you one of those guys that's kind of putting your arm around them? I know in some of those Zoom calls you've said, maybe they're, you know, trying to take your job, but you've always struck me as the kind of player who embraces the younger guys and sort of kind of helps them along. You find yourself in that spot right now?
Yeah, I know. I've been hanging out with, you know, Ian Mitchell a lot and, you know, just trying to show him the ropes a little bit. It's obviously different in this, you know, in the circumstances, but, you know, with COVID and everything, but you know, I was a young guy once too. And, you know, there was, you know, always guys around, there was certain players that always, you know, seem to be, I guess, a little more friendly, if you want to put it that way. But it was, you know, at the end of the day, we're teammates, right? And, you know, I joke about them taking my job and stuff. Yeah, whatever. But, like, it, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm going to, you know, put my heart on my sleeve and work as hard as I can to help the young guys and be a part of the team and do my best to help the team win, right? So, but, you know, the young guys here are all, they're all really good kids, and you know, I think having a good bunch of good people on a team really makes you enjoy the team aspect a lot more.
As we let you go here, speaking of being a young guy, when you were a younger guy, Jeremy was a minor league teammate of yours back in the day in the Islander system over at Bridgeport Sound, but before he had to shut his career down. Describe the type of player he was, and I know I asked you this previously, but for our audience purposes, did you see coaching in his future?
JC was my captain my first year in Bridgeport when we were in the minors. I mean, it's weird how the hockey world's so small, eh? Like, it's so strange. Now he's behind the bench and coaching me, I guess, for that matter. But he was, you know, he was a great teammate and a great leader. Like I said previously, like having a, you know, you always kind of had those, you know, there's certain older guys that were like more friendly and, you know, kind of took the young guys under their wing. And JC was always a guy like that. And, you know, he always helped me feel comfortable around the older guys and, you know, just other in certain situations. And, you know, you never felt out of place with a captain like him. And I think he's really translated that style to his coaching. And, you know, he's pretty down to earth and approachable. And, you know, to be honest, I've really, really enjoyed playing for him so far. So I don't really have anything bad to say about Jeremy. And I've really, really enjoyed playing for him. And he's been great so far.
Yep, 2-year contract extension as well announced last week. Well, Calvin, we know there's so many things you could have done down there under these rules. So thanks for carving out 10-15 minutes to join us here on Blackhawks Live. We really appreciate it. Go get yourself a win tomorrow night, all right?
Yeah, we'll do our best. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Calvin DeHaan, Blackhawks defenseman, joining us here on Blackhawks Live. Chris Bowden, Nick Gismondi with you here. And coming up next, as we roll on, we will hear from another defenseman, Steve Conroy. That's straight ahead here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. It's the bottom of the hour. Let's check in the newsroom with news headlines. Here's Vic Vaughn.
Now Yzerman. To the far board, Dave Barr against Yoni, trying to cut in. A one-hand shot blocked by Conroy. Conroy got it ahead to Presley on right wing. Presley in over the line. Dropped it to Graham. A drive right on rebound. Conroy, he scores! Dave Conroy picked up the rebound and took his time to shoot it into a wide-open net. And the Hawks back in front.
Well, when you score 41 career NHL goals and another 10 in the playoffs, you probably remember every one. And that was certainly the excitable Pat Foley on the call from eons ago. And our next guest, he's going to hang up on me if I keep going like this. Steve Conroy joining us now, and Chris Bowden, Nick Ismondi, as we roll on here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. And do you remember that drive to the net, Steve Conroy, back in the day?
You know, Chris, it's funny. Even though I only scored, did you say 41 goals?
That's what it says, 41 and okay, 10 in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah. Well, even though I only scored 41 goals, I cannot remember it. And, you know, maybe it's because that was, what, 30-some-odd years ago? But, no, I can't. Everything, it's funny, you have five kids and everything becomes a blur.
Yeah, you sound like Troy when I try to ask him to remember certain instances or matchups or things like that. But, you're 14 NHL seasons, and you're, I think, now in your 15th year of doing color and analysis on TV. You've outlasted your NHL career in this gig, but I want to start out by asking you about last night. What was it like being in an empty United Center with a basketball floor down and doing that call with Pat on last night's game against Florida?
Yeah, it's a little different. I miss the energy. You know, especially at the United Center. I mean, the energy there is unparalleled in the NHL. But even when you go on the road, whether it's Florida or Tampa, you know, Nashville's got a great feel, a great buzz. You know, I kind of miss that. But, hey, listen, we're making the best of a kind of a difficult situation. And, you know, there's more important things going on than hockey games and us broadcasting from an empty United Center. So, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, most everyone has gotten through this relatively healthy. I know that there's been some loved ones lost, and that is, you know, tragic. But I think there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we have some fans at the United Center before the close of this regular season.
Amen.
Steve, it's so difficult to do games off of a monitor. Like I mean, I used to do that when I was with NBC Sports Network. You'd be calling events from millions of miles away. So not only are you in an empty arena, you have to manufacture that emotion, but you also are not picking up on the things that are happening beyond the screen. You're not looking at faces on the bench. You're not seeing all that. So how as an analyst is that for you, and is it a bit of an adjustment?
Well, first off, Nick, great to hear you. Great to hear you on the radio. I saw you on the NHL Network the other day. You did a fantastic job. Yeah, it is. It's difficult because, you know, your job as a color guy, and listen, we've got a couple of play-by-play guys, you know, whether it's Pat Boyle, you know, John Weideman on the radio side. When I listen to those guys, I can literally take my eye off the puck and watch what's going on behind the play. And I still know what's going on, if you follow what I'm saying. So,
To
your point, Nick, I will watch, you know, the bench, and I will watch guys making a change, or I will watch maybe a scrum happening behind the play. Mm-hmm. And a perfect example last night, you know, we called that Patrick Kane goal, the sweet spinorama pass from Pia Suter. And if I was in the building, I would have noticed Joel Quenneville looking at his iPad, checking out the replays. And because there was so much time in between, and we just did a close-up of the bench, so I'm thinking, okay, well, they're just celebrating the goal, and they're showing Suter and Kane on the bench. We didn't know they were going to do the video, you know, the offside call. And I think had we been in the building, whether it was in Florida or at the United Center, we would have picked up on that. So, yeah, it's a little difficult. It's not ideal. But like I said, I'm just happy that we're playing hockey and everyone's, you know, healthy and we're getting by that way. So, but, you know, it's funny, as a color commentator, I can literally, because Pat's so good, I can literally take my eyes off the puck and the play and just listen to him, but watch what's going on, whether it's on the bench or 200 feet behind the play, and I still kind of know what's going on.
The position you played right now for the Blackhawks seems to be in very good hands for the future with some of the prospects that they have in this pipeline. Ian Mitchell making his NHL debut. Adam Boqvist still moving along. And Nikita Zadorov is actually still a fairly young guy, 25, even though he's played, what, six seasons in the league. And I want to just get some of your thoughts on some of these younger guys and even ones who may not be on the roster right now. I know everyone is talking about Adam Boqvist here after the first three games of the season, but you know, teaching points, learning points, they have to be made. He is not going to grow into his potential. And you can say the same thing about Zadorov. If he is not getting these opportunities and making mistakes and trying to learn from them, this is a 20-year-old kid who still has a very bright future. We all want it now. But not everyone is like Kirby Doc was last year. These things go in different shapes and sizes and lengths of time to in order for some of these kids to reach their potential.
Yeah, you know, that's very well put, Chris. Everyone kind of learns at their own speed, their own pace. And I'll never forget a conversation I had with, he was a teammate of mine, Dennis Podvan with the New York Islanders. And he then became the color commentator for the Florida Panthers for a number of years until last year. And he said, you know, you don't know what you have as a defenseman until he's played 240 games. Mm. So that's basically 3 years in the NHL. When you get 240 games under your belt, as a defenseman, then you know what you've got. And I thought that was interesting because you're still learning. And Adam Boqvist is still learning. Now, you know, his curve has been a little slower, I think, than maybe Blackhawk fans and maybe Blackhawk brass had hoped. When you look at guys like, you know, Jack Hughes and, I'm sorry, is it Quinn Hughes mm-hmm. in Vancouver?
Quinn, yeah, right.
Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, you know, what he's doing as a relatively young guy. So everyone kind of develops at their own pace. So I think you've got to be patient. And listen, he knows he's making mistakes, and they hurt. And I know as a defenseman, when I coughed up the puck when I was in my first couple of years in the NHL, you'd lose sleep over it, but you learned your lesson, and you make sure you never do it again. So I think that's the trajectory he's on. He's an undeniable skill offensively. He still has some work to do in his own zone and positionally. And I brought up on the broadcast last night, you know, I played – not a lot. I played a little bit with Phil Housley. Right at the end of my career, I was in Calgary, the team I started with, and Phil was there. And when I got traded from Calgary to the New York Islanders, Thomas Janssen was my defense partner. And people might not know Thomas Janssen, but he played on all four New York Islanders Stanley Cups in the early 80s. And he wasn't a big guy. He was only about 5'10", 175, 180 pounds. And that's what Boqvist is. But they both got the job done because they were great positional players, and they anticipated, and they were, you know, strong on their stick. So you know, I think that's something that Adam Boqvist has to learn is positioning, and it should come to him because offensively he puts himself into really good positions. Now what he has to do is realize, okay, now I want to take away that good ice that I want to get on offense. I want to be between the guy with the puck in the net, and you know it's hard work. Defense is hard work. Offense is all about, you know, creativity and freewheeling and you know, it's easy to get energized when you've got the puck. It's a lot harder to get energized when you don't have the puck. So, you know, those are lessons he's going to learn, and I think he's going to be okay. What we have to realize as broadcasters and fans and maybe coaches is some guys don't reach their potential, especially as defensemen, until they've been in the league for 3 years. So, you know, I don't know what he's played now. He's probably played a little over fewer than 100 games. So let's give him another 100 games and see where he stands. Mm.
You know, a big thing is confidence with these guys, too. And you touched on that a little bit. I asked Coach that question today during the press conference. And it's like, you know, how is his confidence? Are you guys building him up? And I think that a guy like Jeremy Calton and that staff is doing that. I feel like that, you know, when he's coming off the ice, they're trying to keep him up a little bit. It's not like they're barking down him or cutting him down a little bit, because I think he does realize that he's got to keep that confidence up and he has to make those mistakes. Would you agree with that sentiment based on the way the staff kind of handles these situations with these guys?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think realistically, the Blackhawks, you know, thought, hey, listen, everyone wants to make the playoffs, but it was going to be really tough to try and make the playoffs this year in this division when you've got, you know, teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning, Carolina, who I really like. You know, we saw Florida last night. They probably should make the playoffs. Dallas, who has yet to play a game, who are the Stanley Cup runner-ups, you know, they're in the mix too. So I think realistically they thought, listen, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. Let's make sure these guys are getting reps and learning. And, you know, you don't want them to become frustrated, though. And I think, Nick, that's kind of what you're touching on, you know, to keep the confidence up. And I love the fact that Sheldon Brookbank works a lot with the defensemen. And Sheldon, I know he played forward in the NHL a little bit, but he spent a lot of his youth and even early NHL career playing as a defenseman, and different type of defenseman than Adam Boqvist, but he knows he knows what it's like, you know, to have your confidence shaken. And I'm not saying Boqvist is in that boat, but they're treating these guys with, you know, kid gloves and making sure that they're not frustrated and they're not, you know, really doubting themselves. So and I'll throw Mark Crawford into that mix too. And Mark Crawford was a pretty tough right winger when he played in Vancouver most of his career. He knows what it's like to be a young player in the NHL. So these guys, I know they're sympathetic. And, you know, Boqvist had a bit of a tough night last night, and he got sat for a few shifts, and I thought, well, maybe that's the end of him. And then all of a sudden we saw him again in the third period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jeremy Colliton knows that, listen, we might not win a Stanley Cup this year, but it's important that these guys are learning and developing. And that's why we saw Adam Boqvist in the third period.
As we wrap up with you here, two quick questions from me. First of all, what was Troy Murray like as a teammate?
Troy was the best. And I'll tell you what, CB, we used to work out together. And this was back before players really worked out.
Jazzercise.
Jazzercise, yeah. A lot of Pilates. No, there was no Pilates back then. We went, and I forget the name of the gym, but it was in...
Gold's Gym.
Gosh, it was... Yeah, it wasn't a Gold's. It was a great spot, and so we'd get together and we'd work out pretty much 5 days a week in the off season. Troy was great, and
he was salty after a loss, though. He was salty with the media after a loss, though. I joke with him. We try to avoid him. If there's anybody to talk to in the locker room, you were always good after a loss, after those rare losses. But yeah. Boy, keep your distance from Troy.
He's a teddy bear.
Well, he took the game home with him, and I was, you know, I told you I had five kids, so I had other things to worry about once the game was over. So, you know, he was a mean guy and salty until the next game, and then he could get back on the winning ways. But no, Troy was great, and I think he was ahead of his time as far as working out, and you know, maybe our nutrition regimen wasn't as good as they are now, but. You know, we tried to stay on top of things as far as, you know, working out hard and making sure we came to camp in real good shape.
Okay, and then as we say goodbye here, who's your favorite television Blackhawks co-host from all the ones that you have worked with and reporters as well? Who are your absolute favorites of all time during your 15-year career?
You know what, Chris, you're right up there. Nick Gizmondi, he is right there too. Pat Boyle, I think probably because I've worked the longest with Pat. And it's so funny because, you know, people see me in real life, and I'm I was 6'1 and a half when I played. I'm probably closer to 6'1 or 6 feet now, but so I'm 6'1, let's say. And people see me and they go, gosh, I didn't realize you're so tall because you look like a small guy next to Pat. Pat's 6'5", 6'6". He's a huge guy.
You're still devilishly handsome, too, though, by the way.
Kind of. Well, yeah, I don't think so, but thank you. But, Chris, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of great guys. You know, go back to Jim Blaney.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
There's a blast from the past.
That's who I thought your pick was going to be. But I'm just joking. Jay, I'm not putting you on the spot here. So
no, listen, everyone I've worked with, you know, so good, so professional. I've been really lucky and blessed that it's been 15, 16 years. And that doesn't happen very often with one team. And then, you know, to have the stretch of, you know, three Stanley Cups in 6 years and all the great playoff series, I feel really fortunate because, as you know, Chris and Nick, that makes your job a lot easier when the team's winning.
Right back at you, sir. And you've lasted that long because you're good at it. So, thanks for being good and jumping on with us here today and breaking things down a little bit, all Blackhawks-wise. And we'll see you back out there here in a couple of days when the team comes back from out of town. I appreciate your time, Steve.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the great work.
All right, Steve Conroy joining us here. Chris Bowden, Nick Gizmondi, as we start winding down towards the end of this edition of Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. A few more minutes with Nick and myself as we wrap things up here on 720 WGN. Oh, where's the cranberry juice and hanging on to the pickup truck?
That's a vibe right there.
Yes.
Folks.
Well, yeah, that thing went viral with one TikTok video that was so popular here. Welcome back to
Black. You on a skateboard,
yeah,
eh?
I don't think so. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. So, not much news out of practice today. The team did get together, Nick, and You know, you were in on that conference call afterwards as well. Jeremy Colleton was asked about the possibility. First of all, yeah, Jeremy's one of those coaches who isn't going to tell you a day beforehand who's going to be in net. But the question did arise whether Kevin Lankinen will, in fact, get an opportunity here this season after Subban opened it up and Colin Dealey has played the last two contests. And Jeremy did say yes, Lankinen will eventually get an opportunity, whether it comes tomorrow night or somewhere down the road. They don't want him sitting around too long. And based on, you know, the way things have gone the first couple of games, there have been good spots for both Subban and Delia, but there have been some, you know, unfortunate mistakes by them both. So you don't want Lankinen to sit around, and since neither of them has taken the bull by the horns, this opportunity will remain open for the former world champion from Finland. He'll get something here coming soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a little bit of the luxury of having three guys that you want to look at. Obviously, it's a disadvantage not having a clear number one to start this season, and we kind of sort of knew, you know, transitioning from offseason into this abbreviated training camp, into a shortened season, that it was going to be the goaltending that I think the biggest question mark exists on, and I think that answer isn't going to come anytime soon. I think it's going to take a few games, some months maybe here, even though we don't have that many, to figure out exactly what that situation, that landscape is going to look like. There were positives for both of those guys, but I agree with you. There were some definite oopses, and you know, I'm still going to go with the positivity of chalking that up to not really having many in-game situations before to shake that rust off. But it'll be very interesting to see how Lankinen responds to you know, to the net. I think we'll see him very soon here, and then, you know, from there it'll kind of flesh itself out a little bit.
Two bright spots here so far in the early going, despite the results. It's good to see Alex DeBrincat get on track here fairly quickly. And, you know, Philip Kurashev making his NHL debut a couple of games ago. And I think the fourth round pick from, 2018, he's looked the part. The stage doesn't look too big from him. And I thought he looked pretty impressive the first couple of games. You?
Yeah, I would agree, and I'd also add in Dylan Strom. You know, I think that, you know, seeing him, he kind of got that contract. He sort of settled in at center a little bit. I know he got some reps on that top line with DeBrincat and his old pal back from the Erie Otter days when they played in the OHL together. Obviously, they're very close off the ice as well. And then, you know, getting some reps with Patrick Kane as well. You saw his confidence sort of kind of swell a little bit. But all of those things massively positive for this team right now. I mean, I think one of the big things at the end of last year that a lot of people were questioning was, when is DeBrincat gonna get going? And that kid's a gamer. I've watched him since he was a little guy, and he's just, man oh man, he can play. And I think we're starting to see that now, and he's comfortable, looks great on the power play too, and that's another positive. I mean, I think that, you know, the man advantage for the Hawks has been decent over these first three games. So, yeah, even though you've had 15 goals against and you're 0-3 to start, there are some things that are trending in the right direction for this group. And if they can just kind of keep focusing and honing in on those and keep those things rolling, then, you know, the tide's going to turn here for the boys.
Got about a minute left here. I think a final thought. I'm feeling pretty good about tomorrow night, but one thing Patrick Kane said before last night's game, he'd like to see how this team reacts with playing with a lead. They almost had that. Unfortunately, Patrick was involved in not being able to play with a lead on that play in the first period, but I think that might do wonders. And again, in each of these first three games, there's been a three-goal period. Limiting all that. You heard the guys talk about it on the Zoom calls today. Limiting those downtimes and not letting a snowball grow even more as it falls downhill. You got to stop that momentum right away. That's something Troy's brought up during the course of the broadcast. I think that's the next step that this team has to make when they do feel a little bit of adversity against an opponent.
Yeah, and keeping it simple, not panicking in those situations when you're down, not trying to overcomplicate things on zone exits or transitions, and just doing the simple thing. And don't overthink the shooting either. Get yourself a goal if you got to get a goal. Don't try to make that one extra pass to make it pretty. Just put the puck in the net, and if you go simple, you're going to be good.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, glad we were finally able to do this together.
This is awesome.
And let's keep doing this week by week. Thanks to the Blackhawks for getting Calvin DeHaan. Thanks to Steve Conroy as well for joining us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Nick, we'll talk to you again next Monday. I'm sure we'll be talking during the course of the week and on Zoom calls with players and coaches interrupting our fascinating questions. So have yourself a good week, and look forward to coming back next Monday.
You too, Bodes. And thanks to our producer, Curtis, and everybody at WGN for having me. It's an honor to be on a Chicago institution. Love you guys.
It's going to be fun all season long. Yes, thanks to our producer, Curtis Koch. Thanks to Krista Flores as well for spinning the dials. And a reminder, coming up tomorrow night, it's the Blackhawks and the Florida Panthers. We'll be with you for the 5:30 pregame here on 720 WGN before John and Troy take over with the call as the Blackhawks look for their first victory of the year, again, against the Florida Panthers before coming back home to take on the Detroit Red Wings on Friday night at the United Center. You have been listening to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. We'll talk to you again next Monday night. Stick around. It's the top of the hour. And let's head over to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here's Vic Vaughn.